On Tuesday of this past week, an announcement was made by the governor of the state of New York. It was received with a standing ovation and applause. Followed that evening by the lighting of the towers and other structures in that city in celebration of that decision that was made and handed down and signed into law by the governor of New York. The decision that was made would legalize abortion to one day before the due date of a pregnant woman. We're talking about a full-term child. From what I've seen, there was not one tear that was shed. There was no cry of mourning and distress. There was glee and happiness. We talk about how sin is like leaven, and a little leaven leavens the lump. And I've made comments before that whenever sin takes hold, there's really no place for it to stop. It will just continue to fester and to grow. Termination that was made and signed into law was from the basis of this understanding that a human life does not begin until birth takes place. Prior to that, it is a human being that is carrying a thing. Brethren, we have entered into the situation with these type of ideas and thoughts and so-called logic where things are carrying human beings. And it is shameful. I will be honest with you, at hearing of this decision and seeing the reaction of it, I became nauseated. It is sickening. Turn with me to Isaiah, the 5th chapter, verses 20 through 24. Isaiah, the 5th chapter, verse 22 through 24. God, through Isaiah, says this: "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight." Verse 23. "Woe to those who acquit the guilty for a bribe and deprive the innocent of his right. Therefore, as the tongue of fire devours the stubble and as dry grass sinks down in the flame, so their root will be as rottenness, and their blossom go up like dust. For they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." The determinations that were made in New York this past week were not determinations based upon love or compassion, not even based upon humanity, certainly not based upon logic, but based upon vaunting the creature above the Creator. I want us to look at the description that is given concerning that over in Romans, the 1st chapter, beginning in verse 18. And if I understand the context properly here in this particular passage, Paul is letting us know why God chose a certain people and rejected others. Why God had chosen the Israelites and rejected the Gentiles. And he says there in verse 18, beginning, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." There's a truth that has been suppressed in connection with this law that has been handed down in New York. And it's just a basic understanding and makeup. It is scientific, it is proven, it has never been disproven, and it is always consistent. And that is that kind begets kind. And whatever starts out as a zygote within the body of whatever being it is in is what that being is. It is a human being in a human being. It is a cow in a cow. And it is kind begetting kind. And that suppression of truth is there because of the desires and wants of a very few. Of a very few. That are not walking by truth. Verse 19 says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them." And it's not like these individuals that have made up this law to be passed and signed as a bill in that particular state cannot know God, but rather the things of God are ignored. In verse 20 it says, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, has been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." They have no excuse in looking around them and making the confession to the fact that there is a God in heaven, a designer of all these things. Verse 21 says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened." And they were darkened because they wanted their own way rather than God's way. Verse 22, "Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." They looked at what was seen rather than what was unseen. They looked and should have declared a creator and yet refused and proclaimed the creature above the creator. "Therefore God gave them up," verse 24, "in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to dishonor of their bodies among themselves." Verse 25, "because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen." This decision that came down is nothing more than idol worship of mankind and man's desires and man's wants, placed above what God has given us concerning truth, which should be known by all. "For this reason," verse 26, "God gave them up to dishonor, up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error." And you see how sin, unchecked, leads people completely away from even the natural use of their bodies. And the same thing in connection with this law that was signed in. It is nothing more than idolatry. Verse 28, "since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless, though they knew God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die. And that at God's choosing, not man's, but God's choosing. They not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. And they light towers, and they light statues in celebration of murder, of death, of defilement, of idolatry. Who would have thought when Roe v. Wade came into existence in the 60s that would ever lead to this? I don't know if you've put two and two together yet, but now in the state of New York, before the signing of this bill, it was as it was in many other states in the Union. If a pregnant mother was killed, was murdered, the murderer was charged with two counts of murder. No more. If a drunk driver ran into a car and killed the mother, a pregnant mother, no more will he be charged with one count of murder and one count of manslaughter, because it's just a thing inside the woman's body. I repeat again, they've debased themselves to the point where things are carrying humans. They've tried to make it sound as though humans are carrying things, but it's exactly the other way around. These are things. Where if I turn to Jude, I see another account that is given here concerning woe to them that Jude speaks of. And I know that he's speaking of false teachers, and I'll tell you, false teachers come in all different forms, not only in that in connection with things spiritual and religious, but also in things that are moral and things that are right. And there are false teachers involved in that. Verse 11 of Jude says, "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." And what he's speaking of there is murderers. Cain was a murderer. He had no reverence for life whatsoever. His feelings were hurt. He was turned inward in his thought and action and acted upon that, and without resolve took the life of his brother. He was a murderer. "Woe to them, for they've gone the way of Cain, and they ran greedily after the error of Balaam. And Balaam sold himself out from what he should do for the reason of money." And Paul makes mention of the fact to those of Thessalonica that money is the root, the love of money is the root of all evil. And you can be sure that this decision has some application in connection with that context, money. "And perished in the gainsaying of Korah." And there it's talking about rightful authority. Korah questioned the authorized leadership that God put in place, and men today are questioning the authorized, rightful place of authority that lies with God. And he is rejected, and his word is rejected. And now we have this. I don't wish for death. I'm saddened that I've lived to see this situation. It is sad. By their own reasoning, it has been stated, by arguments made, that a life of a human being that has an IQ of 40 or less is really worthless. based upon that reasoning, think about who would be forfeited in this life. There is no recognition of God. There is no recognition of right and wrong. I think back, and we're about to study in Nehemiah. And I see the same thing take place also in Daniel, where with tears and crying, both Nehemiah and Daniel pray to their God, asking forgiveness not only for themselves, but also for their family, but also for the entire nation, because they have treated God so despicably. They had disobeyed God and not recognized His authority as God, and they asked forgiveness for that. When that announcement was made, the lighting of the buildings and other structures there in New York in celebration should have never taken place. It should be that the knees were so weak at such a terrible announcement being made that everyone fall on their knees, pray to their God in tears, asking forgiveness for such a thing coming to pass. God has a response to this. And I want you to recognize that it is God's response, and He has the right to make the response. We teach His truth and we respond that way, but His response, we must understand first of all from Jude, verse 9. In connection with those that would teach falsehoods and live immorally and practice immorality and teach others to follow that immorality. Verse 9 says, "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke thee.'" Judgment will be by God. When we look in verses 14 through 16, here is the judgment of God concerning such displays of irreverence, blasphemy, and immorality and idolatry. Verse 14, beginning in Jude. "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, 'Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaks great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage." Because of advantage, because they do what pleases them rather than what pleases God. Our nation should be in mourning. Our nation should be in tears and not in joy. I'm going to ask Brother James Duvall if he would, at this time, to lead a prayer in connection with giving thanks to God for Him being God, giving thanks to Him for allowing us to be His children, and pray for this nation and for the ones leading it to come to their senses and restore righteousness, at least to the point of recognizing God, and stop this foolishness. Brother James, would you mind leading us in that prayer?
Almighty God, our our maker, our creator, the one and only true God in heaven. Please look down upon our nation at this time. May we, as individual members of this nation, raise our voice in outcry to those who are in places of authority, that they would stop this foolishness and help us to use all the legal influence that we possibly can to see that those who are in a position of leadership and authority will no longer occupy their offices if they continue down this ungodly, unconscionable path of destruction. We are so very thankful, Father, that you have so graciously bestowed upon us the privilege of becoming your children. We pray that we will live lives that will be an example to all those round about us. That we will truly be a reflection of Jesus in our lives. That by following in his steps, we can become more like him and thus become individuals who are better equipped to serve thee here upon this earth. And to truly become a reflection of him to those round about us. It is so disheartening, Father, that our nation has come to this state, that people are so unconscionable, without feeling, without any type of remorse, seemingly not only acknowledge the acts that they are performing to the detriment of unborn children, but giving praise and glory and honor to them as they make such cruel and destructive laws. We pray, Father, that our nation will mourn this day. And we pray that they will turn in their thinking back to a path of serving thee and following thee, recognizing thee truly as the Almighty, the I Am, the one and only God that we are to serve. Please, Father, again, we ask that we will do everything that we can within right and legal means to oppose this law and laws like them, and that we might truly have some type of sanity come back to our nation. Thou art truly the one that we are to serve. And again, we are so very, very thankful that you have blessed us by giving us the right to become your children. Behold, the inspired writer wrote, behold, the love of God that has blessed us that we can be your children. The great love you have bestowed upon us, we are so very thankful. And we're thankful, Father, for Garrett and his courage and his conviction, the fortitude with which he holds forth your word. May you ever bless him in his service. And may we always uphold his hand as he fights for the banner of truth, striving to overcome Satan and his minions, trying to turn people back into the ancient paths and serving thee once again. All of these things we ask in the name of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let me end the service with the words of John, who penned them in Revelation 22. Come, Lord Jesus. If we can assist you in becoming a Christian or being made once again back right with the Lord in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.